Oh no, boys and girls. You can hear the music. And you know Rodney's the guest. I mean, when you hear this.
When you hear the song.
Hear the song, you know it's Rodney. And if you're wondering who Rodney is, you just have to figure that out on your own. Because the rest of us all wonder, who is Rodney? Is he gangsta? Is he the anti-fisherman? Is he the ultimate fisherman? There's many, many questions about Rodney that we're just not all certain about. I mean, but gas pedal kind of fits. I've seen his motorcycle and his car. Good morning, Rodney.
Good morning, Frank. How you doing?
Oh, man. What a great day.
Oh.
Rodney, our ultimate secret guest here. All right. What brings you to radio fishing?
I'm here to let you guys know on the report of the fish biting in the water.
The fish biting in the water. I'm glad it's not fish biting on the land.
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't be hesitant to go outside with some of that. Never mind. Okay, go ahead. So anyway, you went fishing, and lo and behold,
I've been out almost every night of snook season opened, and we've been doing very, very productive, and we've been catching a lot of fish at night and, you know, hit some of these lights and even some of the dark spots that you don't see any lights.
We're Port Charlotte Beach,
Port Charlotte Beach,
41 Bridge.
Yeah, we've been hitting all three spots, going down to maybe ponds at night, you know, on a full moon. We caught some couple of reds just cruising the flats, you know, out of the blue. It was crazy. It's fishing's been good. The water's been perfectly fine. No rain. We had a little bit of rain yesterday, and you know, downpour. I don't think it had affected anything because I went out last night and I caught at least two keepers, but there was only one person on the boat.
So you went out snook fishing last night?
Definitely went out last night, and I had an incredible night. And being out there for just about, I want to say about an hour, hour and a half, we picked up at least 20 to 30 fish.
So what kind of fish did you hit?
Well, the highlight of the night was my big 40-inch snook.
40-inch snook?
Yeah, I was shocked.
a little psyched, were you, Rodney?
I was shaking in my boots, put it that way. Oh, man. It was a sight.
Gas pedal.
After that. Yes, definitely gas pedal. Man, it was something exciting. I haven't caught a big snook in a long time, and fighting something like that, seeing it jump in the air and seeing it do its acrobatical skills and trying to get away and evade me was very, very exciting. I never thought I'd see the side of that, you know, but,
All right, let's go back. You, right before you caught the snook, okay, you're out there and you're in your boat.
Mm-hmm.
And now where are you fishing? Up against the docks, mangroves? Where were you?
I'm up against the dock. The first cast was a decent size, Lunker shrimp. And, it sat on the bottom for about 10 minutes and, we waited and, the guy told me, the guy at the dock told me that, fish weren't biting. And sure enough, as soon as he said that the last time, my 40-incher came up out of the water and showed itself. And the guy was shocked. And
So now, I'm going to get a little more detailed here. You were throwing a shrimp. Now, was it on a jig head? Was it on a hook? Bobber? How were you rigged up?
For some odd reason, I tried a jig head the first two casts. And it didn't sit well with them for some odd reason. I don't know what was the situation, but I freelined a circle hook on a shrimp, and that did the job. I let the shrimp sit on the bottom.
Well, the nice part about when you freeline is you toss it in there, and that shrimp's going to kind of just drift down, yep. And every time the current moves the line, it kind of lifts the shrimp a little bit.
Yes.
And with the jig head, he's kind of pegged into place. But when you're freelining, watch the line in the current, and every time that line bows up, it'll lift that shrimp just a little bit, kind of put him back into the strike area.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened.
So you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, were you kind of, was he under a dock?
He was under a dock, deep under a dock, to the point I had to take the rod and actually move it around a couple times.
So you hook the fish, and he starts going nuts, and then he goes around a piling on you.
Goes around a piling, at least two of them.
So you had to take your rod in, reach around the piling with the rod,
yep,
bring it back out the other side. How many pilings did you have to hand the rod around the pilings before you...
It was two of them when I loosened up. I opened my bail, and he basically sat there thinking he was free. And that's
the smartest thing you could have done. Because if you would have left pressure on him, he's going to fight as long as he's got pressure. Yeah. As soon as the pressure's gone, he thinks you're gone. Yeah. So, okay, I can relax now. Yeah. But pop the bail, get around the pilings, and you got around two pilings you had to hand the rod around?
Around two pilings.
So you're bringing your boat up against the dock, handing it around.
Yes.
You go around the other one.
We're going around the other way.
And then what happened after that?
Oh, he finally came out to the open, and... I basically fished him very lightly, so he didn't go back into the pilings, you know. So after I got him out in the nice open water, I pretty much fought him for about a good 5 minutes.
Did you get a couple good jumps out of him?
He got like at least 6 good jumps.
Now, a lot of times when I'm fishing those, I get the 40 inchers. They seem to come up, but they don't get their whole body out of the water. They're so fat that all they can get is kind of like their head in the first part, and they do that big head back and forth shake with the head.
Oh, man.
Did yours come all the way out of the water?
Mine, it came out of the water at least 2 times trying to get away.
Wow.
I was shocked. I never, like you said, I'd never seen fish come out of the water that big, and it definitely did that twice, and it wanted to get away, but I had other ideas for him, and
you just wanted to play for a while.
I just wanted to really play, because you know I had a hard day's of work. You know when you go out during the day, you don't catch what you want to catch, and you know you don't feel the same way, and it makes it all better when you come back at night and you try to do it again, and you say, yeah, you know, you finally accomplished the mission that you went out to do all day long.
And 40-inch snook's a quite a good mission.
Yes.
That is really cool. I've been talking to the state, and we're trying to get, me and one of the other guys from FWC, we want to get a trophy fish back, big fish back, for the anglers of South Florida. And instead of having the small slot limit, we want to raise it up so you can't keep anything under 39, 40 inches. But that would be your fish. Your slot is anything over that, because snook only live 20, 25 years.
Yep.
And allowing them to grow old and die, you know, I don't know. I've always felt that, you know, I get sick and weak and whatever. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't need to, you know, lay in a bed for months. I want to just be done.
Definitely.
And by the time they've reached that side, they've spawned, they've done everything many, many, many times.
Yep.
And I don't know why we're taking the youngest and best. We need to do the older and the weaker ones.
Yeah.
You know, and if you retired out there, that wasn't meant for you. That was meant for me.
Yes.
Oh, God. I just thought of that. I'm going, am I saying? I'm going to have guys coming in, you know, beating me with their, you know, canes.
Oh, man.
And I do radio shows. Oh, God. I'm so correct. Oh. But
anyway, yeah, that's the truth of it, too.
Yeah, somebody's going to come and hit me with a walker today.
Yeah.
I know that's going to happen.
Or a cane, you know. something to do some damage.
Now, you're in the healthcare industry, right?
Yes, I am.
You're a nurse?
Yeah, I'm a nurse.
And so this is a great therapy for you, because you deal with a lot of sick and injured people, and you know, healthcare giver, and applaud you for that. Job I couldn't do. I have no idea how you stay so happy all the time. You just, you know, it's just amazing to see. And we all look forward when Rodney comes in the store. But you get a chance to go out fishing and catch 40-inch snook. And what else did you catch that night?
I caught my slot limit, 38. And I gladly shared that with a couple patients of
38?
Mine. 38? Yeah.
Well, 38 isn't in the slot.
It's not in the slot. Whoops, hold on. What was it?
30.
Hold on.
What was it?
32? 32, there you go. I don't know why I was thinking 38.
But it's okay. Either way, I know, you know, as crazy as you look, we know you're not a renegade.
Yes, I'm not a renegade at all.
No, you're not.
I just do 120 down 41 for the hell of it. No, I'm no renegade at all.
Gosh.
Now, you didn't hear that from me, actually. You didn't hear that from me.
No, he never does that. I didn't pick that song for any particular reason.
Oh, man.
But it's been good. You've been having a great time fishing lately. Yes, everything's working out.
I've been having awesome time.
You got your redfish, your snook. What else you been catching?
There's been a couple trout sitting at the lights. I was very shocked. I caught a decent 20-inch trout, and he was
tasty.
I could say that he was very tasty, and the neighbors enjoyed him. Pretty much, you know, it made up for being at work so long and dealing with so much stressful things, like you were saying.
Fishing's the ultimate stress reliever.
Ultimate stress reliever.
If there was a lake by everybody's house, Prozac would never be needed.
It would never be needed. You'd need nothing, you know.
You could go out, stand by the lake, and catch a couple of fish, and you'd be all good.
Yeah.
You don't need all that crazy stuff.
You don't.
So, but a lot of people don't realize how cool it is out here at night. It's just amazing, isn't it?
It's a different world. It's a different world. I could say that from being out, you know, almost every night. It's a different world. You never
go
know
to that
to expect.
Same place during the day, and then you get there at night, and it's just amazing. And there's nobody here.
No.
You get out there, you may see somebody else one night.
Yeah.
Maybe. And the same place during the day, there's 50 people, and there's lines all over, everything's going on. You get out there at night, and everybody went home.
Everybody went home and no sleep.
And you're sitting out there, you have the whole harbor to yourself. We go down, we do a lot of nighttime tarpon fishing.
Yeah.
I work a lot during the day, so if we get a chance, we slip out in the evening, and it's amazing. And what's really funny is they're out there during the day, and they're pounding the water. They're trying to catch a tarpon. They get one, maybe two fish on or something like that. We go out and catch 14 at night.
Yeah.
in a single night.
That's the craziest thing I've found out. And, you know, I've grown to love night fishing. You know, no matter how tired you get at the end of the night,
and you have natural camouflage. Yes. Fish can't see you.
Fish can't see me at all, you know.
I'm sorry, Rod.
Man, they can't see me at all. What they can't see don't hurt them.
My son, he says, you're never going to do a national radio show, Dad. You know, you got to clean up your act. And, but it, I really enjoy the night fishing, and it's been, and you do the same stuff. But I catch more fish.
Yeah.
It's quiet. It's nice.
You don't hear people screaming and hollering. All you hear is conversations from everybody's houses and who did what and did you do your homework. And that's a different world if you don't get to hear none of that at all. No homework work, no cell phone ringing, nobody bothering you or coming over. There's, 'cause there's nowhere to go. You can't follow me in the water unless you're in the boat.
So, and yeah, I really enjoy everything about it. But one of the techniques I find big at night is shrimp seems to work all night on almost any fish.
Yes, it does.
And you can just freeline that shrimp up against the dock and hang out for a little while. I use my trolling motor very, very slow, the slowest setting I got. And I go from one dock and I try and get 2 to 3 casts under a dock.
Yep.
Go to the next dock, 2 to 3 casts. And I just keep working back and forth like that. But with no weights, no bobbers, no nothing.
Yeah.
The nice thing is you're not, you know, it's not like if you miss and you hit a boat, you're going to scratch somebody's jaw coat.
Yep,
you know,
exactly.
I see somebody with a $500,000 boat there or a $100,000 boat, I don't want to throw a lure against it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Lure slapping against them to wake them up and they'll come outside wondering what the hell is going on.
I would.
Yeah, I would too.
If somebody threw a lure against my $60,000 boat, I mean, I would be upset too. So
yep.
I like the free line aspect of the shrimp because it can't hurt anything. It's quiet, it's nice, and we catch a lot of fish. What I like doing is when I have a strong current, I've got a big boat anchored or tied up to a dock, I toss about 4 or 5 feet up current from it with the boat out, and I'll toss up in there, and it just drifts down, heads underneath the boat, and let the tide take it all the way underneath that boat.
Oh, yeah.
And wow. These fish like hanging underneath that heavy structure. And most of those big boats never move. The world's most expensive lawn jockeys.
Yeah,
you know
pretty
what I mean?
Much. Pretty much. They don't go anywhere. Yeah, they just sit there.
They wanted to be, when people come over and go, look at my boat. Well, no, we can't really drive it, but well, you know,
really
look
at it. It looks nice sitting here. And
rev the engines
back
and forth a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that's about it.
And they hold a tremendous amount of fish. Some of the best reefs in the county are these boats that just sit there.
Yep. Oh yeah, I've noticed that a lot. And there's this guy that had a boat that was sunken in my canal, and I went out and I fished it for at least 3 or 4 days straight, and I was catching pretty decent fish consistently.
And oh, the fish love sunken boats.
They love it. And the guy comes out and says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to get your boat back afloat." And he looked at me and says, "That's impossible because it's too far in the water. It's at least a good, it was a good 40-foot boat."
Wow.
It got flooded. Bilge pump stopped working because they didn't go out and check it. They were too busy showing everybody the boat. You know,
look at my beautiful.
Oh, it's sunk on the bottom. Hold on. Give me a couple.
I have raised so many boats up, and I think I've only had 2 boats that haven't sunk at the dock. You could get on a boat with me, and if I had the fuel in my little flats boat, I could take you to Europe. You would be as safe as you were in your rocking chair at the house.
Yes.
No problem. Once I'm on the boat, but when I leave the boat, they get upset with me.
Yeah.
And it's like, "Where'd you go? I want to go out and play again."
Yeah, I want to go out and play.
So they sink.
Yeah, pretty
right
much.
Right at the dock.
Pretty much.
So I am a pro at getting boats up off the bottom. I mean, I can raise any boat anywhere. You know, I've brought back so many boats up from the bottom. Ah, I thought that was the producer of the show telling us we had to get off the air because
no,
we're really
not them.
So, anyway, I guess anything else to add to this? You going back out tonight?
Back out tonight. I have to. It's an addiction now. I have to go out. If I didn't go out, I would not be here this morning or tomorrow morning or anything.
You'd be in a little rubber suit bouncing around the
rubber
room.
Suit bouncing around, pissed off at the world.
So, what's your game plan for tonight?
Game plan for tonight, I think I might end up going towards Port Charlotte Beach because I've been hearing that there's been cobia cruising that bar looking for cut bait. And
right out those shrimp, channel markers.
Right out channel markers and mm-hmm. just go straight out. And it's been doing very, very well. Most people have been catching good-sized cobia. And I go down to the Port Charlotte Beach area,
so
on the other
going
side.
From Mr. Snook to Mr. Cobia tonight.
Yes, from Mr. Snook to Mr. Cobia tonight, and I'm very excited, you know. And usually I haven't caught a cobia yet. I've been out with a couple of buddies that have caught cobias, and you know they're fighting these fish, and you know a good couple minutes, and it's like, well, I want to catch one. And
now keep in mind the thing about a cobia. To successfully land one requires a lot of patience. This is going to be a problem here.
This is going to be a major problem. Major problem.
The problem is they get off and they seem to hang about 20 feet off the boat.
Yep.
They come in a little bit. You think you got them? Nope. He's just going to pull it back.
Yep.
But he doesn't make, you know, you get 2-3 long runs. But after that, it's all about 5 feet. You get 5 feet, he takes 5 feet back. You get 5 feet, he takes 5 feet back. If you can just understand that when he's ready, when it's time, that fish will come to the boat.
Yeah, it will.
Don't, you know, you can't get it before he's ready to do it because they have this thing, okay, I'm fine right out here, and they will fight and fight and fight. And it's all about 4 feet in, 5 feet out, 5 feet in, 4 feet out.
Yeah.
And little by little, you'll get him around. But just because he comes to the boat a couple times,
doesn't
he's not
done.
Ready.
Yeah.
And don't use
yet.
A landing net.
No.
Never use a landing net on a cobia. I love watching that because the cobia comes up, goes right through the net.
Oh, yeah. And, I've seen it happen.
And now you got to cut the net. You got to get the rod back out of it. You got to get the net all the way over the rod to get everything going. Otherwise, I've actually seen guys, and you can tell what happened. Because they're fighting the fish. The fish is out there, and there's a landing net sliding up and down the line while they're fighting the fish.
Yes, there is. Oh, man.
So the big thing with cobia, always remember, and be patient, and you will land that fish. You have to gently pull really hard.
Yes, gently pull really hard. That's exactly what you have to do.
All right. Anyway, anything else you want to add to this tonight?
I've gone... Today, tonight.
Oh my God, I've been at work way too much.
Yeah. I actually caught my first black drum Tuesday night, and I was very shocked. And
how big was it?
I want to say he was about at least 30 inch.
That's a respectable black drum.
A 30-incher. He was.
That's a great starter drum.
Yes, he's a great
way to start because you know, like with the cobia, it's all about learning, learning the techniques to fight them. And I think the thing that makes me craziest about the black drum, I can land a 50, 60-pound black drum on 10-pound mono.
Yes.
And then the next one comes up and snaps off 50-pound like it's not
like
there.
Like it's not even there. I was shocked when I seen Carl on the Snoopy pole.
Right.
And he caught the biggest one I've seen so far, you know, on the smallest rod. And he had nothing. He had, what was it, like
a six-pound test?
Six-pound test. And
but the thing about black drum, it's all about the fighting technique. It's that gently pulling hard.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is, as soon as you make a mistake, he'll come up and just whap that head over and just, bam, he's gone. If when you land that drum, like that 30-inch drum, it's, you did good because you did everything right.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the cool thing about a drum. It really kind of tests your technique because they can break off easily if they want to. But a lot of times you can just kind of guide and steer that fish and
where you want them.
And so if you can do the black drum, I get good hopes for your cobia.
Yeah.
Good hopes for the cobia. I'm not, and at night it's tough, but at least at night you're not really so in tune with, he's right there. I can get him. He's right there. Yeah. And you just pull a little too hard and boom, you're done. So anyway, I guess we should, there's the music for that. Okay, we're gonna bypass that part. We'll go to the last part. Here he goes.
Yes.
There he goes. Gas pedal.
When the fish gets hooked, he hits a gas pedal. That's all I got to say.
Slam the gas.
Slam on the gas, and if you're not ready, he's gonna leave you in the dust.
Well, anyway, guys, thank you very much. Rodney, are you coming down to help out at the tent sale Saturday?
Yes, I'll be here at tent sale.
All right. I'm not sure which booth, which one Rodney's going to be helping out in. We're still working out trying to where to get everybody, but come down and meet Rodney. He's Rodney.
I'm me, man. I tell no lie. I'm just all original.
Yeah, original is absolutely the word.
Original guy who you enjoy conversating with, and you know, I'll give you some tips if I got them. If you're asking questions, I'll help you out. You know, that's what fishing's all about, to help the other guy catch a fish to bring home to dinner. That's what I look at.
Okay, guys. Well, this is Fish and Frank. We'll see you Saturday at the tent sale. And the tent event, the tent sale, the tent show, the whatever the heck it is, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll see you there. Fish and Frank and Rodney saying, we'll see you next time. Say goodbye, Rodney.
See you guys next time. Have a good day, guys.